you will, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. We're in verse 105. If you remember way back, we were walking through Psalm 119 in last year, and this year we're going to continue and finish up walking through this psalm that celebrates all that God's Word is. And the psalmist has just beautifully, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned some beautiful words and reminders and truths about God's Word. And I just, every time I read through it, I am just amazed at not just what God has led this man to write. I mean, think about it. It's every section starts with a different letter of the alphabet, and every sentence in that section starts with the same letter. My English teacher would have been amazed if I could have done something like that. It would have been a miracle. But just the beauty of it, and the truth and the weight of it. This one is writing, the psalmist is writing about a very difficult time in his life. I mean, where people are literally trying to kill him and trying to trip him up and trying to snare him and trying to tear him down. It was not a time when everything was smooth and everything was rosy and everything was great. He's looking back over his history of leadership, I believe. I think it's David. I'm not sure. I believe that's right. But how people have been against him through leadership and trying to tear him down and trying to overwhelm him. It just speaks of God's faithfulness through His Word, how God meets us and ministers to us through His Word. I'm as guilty as you are. When things get tough, one of the first things I neglect is studying God's Word, when that should be the first thing we do, and I'm trying to get better at that. But everything that we need, everything that that God wants for us, we find in the Word of God. It strengthens us. It equips us. It sustains us. It illuminates us. And that's what we're going to look at today. This section, if I title it, God's Word Illuminates. Have you ever been in your life where you're just at a loss? You don't know what to do. You don't know how to respond. You don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to get through. You know, it's just hard and confusing and it just seems like it's a lot of gray area. Nothing seems to be black and white. And how do you respond? How do you walk? How do you do? How do you carry this load? How do you do what's right? Well, all of that comes from the Word of God. And the psalmist is reminding himself and reminding the readers of the faithfulness of God and the usefulness of God's Word in our most difficult days. So if you would stand with me, we're going to begin in verse 105, read down through verse 112. A verse that many people know and quote often says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Oh, accept the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end." Let's pray. Lord God, I do want to thank you for this great asset that we have called the Bible, this instruction book, this guide for such a mixed up, messed up world. How do we navigate the difficulties of parenthood? How do we navigate the hardships of marriage and relationship? How do we accomplish things that matter for eternity? How do we operate in a world that is so twisted and so backwards. Lord, how do we honor you in it? God, all of that is answered in your word. So God, let us hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Let us be steadfast in our devotion to it. And Lord, let us run to it often for guidance. Lord, we love you. And we want to show you that love through our obedience. And we just ask that you would guide us tonight, guide us this week, that we may accomplish what we set out to accomplish, your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So he opens up this section with a couple of phrases that are descriptive of God's Word. It says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, the question is, if we're going to understand what he's saying here in this section, when is it that you need a light or a lamp? In the darkness. Why do you need a light or a lamp? To see, but also for comfort. I don't know about you, but man, I've been hunting before it in the evening. I love hunting in the evening. I'm not much of a morning hunter. I just don't like getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, going sitting in the cold. I've convinced myself that I've had more success in the afternoon hunts than the morning hunts, so it's easier for me to sleep in. But there have been times, one time in particular, I was hunting in a relatively new place. We had gotten in this new lease, and so I had moved a stand into a new place and kind of off the beaten path of where I had been before, and got up in my climbing stand the afternoon, and I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there. Right before dark, this old big old nanny comes in, you know, and I just, praise God, you know, and I drew back on her, and I shot. Well, if you're no bow hunting, not many of them fall in their tracks when you shoot them with an arrow, and so she took off, and I hit her. I knew I hit her, you know, I knew it was a good shot, and so I collect all my stuff, and by this time, it's starting to get dark. And I come down, and it's getting kind of dusk. It's not really real dark yet, but it's starting to dim light. And I'm thinking, okay, let me get my flashlight. Oh, forgot my flashlight. So I said, okay, I'm gonna trail this girl. I know I hit her good. She's not going to run far, you know, so I'm going to find her real quick, and I'm going to get out of here before dark. Well, I start trailing this blood trail, and I'm trailing, and thinking, okay, she's got to be right up here somewhere. She's just bleeding buckets, you know. And I trail, and I trail, and I trail, and it's getting darker and darker and darker. And I trail her, and I finally find her, and I can just barely see the white of her belly laying there. It's dark. Okay, I'm thinking, I can't see the blood trail to go back. I grab the deer, and I start thinking, okay, I went this way and I went that way, and so I'm lost. And it's one of those non-moon nights. It's dark. No flashlight, and the only thing I can think of is, man, coyotes really like deer. And so, you know, I'm wishing, kicking myself. Oh, what do? I don't have a flashlight. Dragging this deer through the woods, through can't see, and just through the vines and the briars and the thicket. And do I leave her? Do I stay? So I just tough it out, and I just, okay, I'm going to pick a direction, and I go, and praise God, it was the right direction. But finally got back out. But man, those are just some nervous times. When there's no light, you can't see, your man limbs hitting you, you hear a sound, and you think, oh, panther. You know, first thing pops in your head. And you just get nervous, and you're scared, and you're tripping, and you're stumbling. Oh, for a flashlight. Something to illuminate my path. Something to not just show me where I'm going, but to show me what's around me. Show me the distance around, and give me some comfort in the middle of this unknown where my imagination and my mind is running wild with all the monsters and the bears and the lions and the tigers, oh my. You know, If you've never been in the woods without a flashlight, not knowing where you are, you don't understand. But you guys that's been there, you gals that's hunt, you probably understand where I'm at. Maybe it's from your childhood. Think back. You've been riding your bicycle out playing, and you're out at your friend's house, and you're there, and you know you got to get back home, but you mess around, and it's dark before you try to leave, and you got to ride your bike back home in the dark. You see the path, you see the road, but it's dark. You remember as a 9 or 10-year-old riding down that dark road thinking all the booger bears it's going to get you? That's scary. But all you need is a flashlight, just that one little spark of light, and whew, you calm down. Because I can see, and if I hear a noise, I can see him before he eats me, but at least I see him. There's comfort in that. Well, life is like that. When you're in that place where there's so much unknown, you're in a place where you've never been before. You really don't know what's coming or how things are going to work out. There's so many tangibles. There's so many distractions. There's so many noises out there. And there's so many things that our imagination runs wild with. And we start expecting the worst out of everything. Those are the times where we need a light for our path. We need something, someone to show us, to guide us, to illuminate where we are. What's our next step? What's in the way of my next step? What's around me? What's that noise over there? To bring us not just sight, but comfort. And so the psalmist, in the midst of the hardest part of his life, in the midst of his struggle, he says, God's word is a light to my path. It shines right in front of me, and it tells me what my next step of obedience is. It tells me what the possible distractions are here, or the stumbling blocks are here. It illuminates the direction I need to go and shows me what's ahead of me. Maybe not all the way ahead of me, but at least the next couple of steps I can see. That's what God's Word does. It's a light to our path. It shows us in our relationships, how are we supposed to navigate this thing that's so hard? How are we to navigate marriage? How are we to navigate dating? And how are we to navigate just friendships? How are we supposed to function in those things? What's our next step? This thing that's happened, this difficulty that's arisen, this conflict that's arose, what is my next step? What do I do in order to navigate this well? God's Word shows us that. It's the light in our path. But it's also a lamp. Now, what's the difference in a light and a lamp? A light is pretty focused. It shines right in front of you. But a lamp, a lantern, it diffuses light. It shows a much larger area. The light shows us what's right in front of us. It helps us to step without stumbling. But the lamp gives us more of a comfort because it shows more around us. It illuminates a little bit bigger area. And so not only do we see what's right in front of us, we can see to the left and to the right, and it's just more comforting when there's a bigger field of light. And so he says it's a light into my feet, but a lamp into my, or a light to my path, a lamp into my feet. I got that backwards. Your words, a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. It just shows us more, and it brings comfort, it brings direction, it brings insight, it shows us how we're to walk and to navigate. So he says, because of that, he says, I have sworn, and I will confirm it. Now, what does it mean when he says, I have sworn? In other words, I made a promise, and I will confirm it. How do you confirm something that you swore to do? You do it. You keep your promise. You make a promise, you keep a promise. Said I'm going to do it, and I'm going to confirm it because I'm going to do it. I do it, that confirms my promise. So he says, I have sworn, and I will confirm it, what? That I will keep your righteous ordinances. God, no matter what my path is, no matter what lies ahead, no matter what's around me, no matter what's going on, no matter the circumstances, I have promised and I will confirm it. I will keep my promise. God, I'm going to stay true to your word. I'm going to trust it. I'm going to be submissive to it. I'm going to put it into practice. I will keep your righteous ordinances. Then he Then he just simply states what's going on. He says, I am exceedingly afflicted. Now that word exceedingly is important. It's not just a small affliction. It's not just a discomfort. It's not just an inconvenience. This is a tough time. This is one of the toughest times of his life. He said, I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Now what does that revive me mean? It means quicken me. Keep me alive. Keep me focused. God, quicken me according to your word. Let your word do what you said it will do. God, let it illuminate. Let it keep me alive. Let it keep me moving in the right direction in this difficulty. God, I'm looking to your word for my direction. I'm looking for your word to keep me alive, to keep me revived, to keep me in this great affliction. In verse 108, during his affliction, not only is he declaring his need, but he's declaring his praise. It says, oh, accept the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. In the middle of his greatest need, he declares his greatest dependence. God, I'm depending on you. That's why I'm asking you to revive me. That's why I'm asking you to guide me. That's why I'm asking you to keep me straight according to your word. God, I'm gonna keep your word. I've promised to do it, and I'm gonna keep my promise. But God, I'm trusting you to revive me, to keep me alive, to keep me on the straight and narrow, to keep me headed in the right direction, to do what is right in this situation so that you'll be glorified and I can experience your blessing, your presence, and your encouragement. But God, I'm not just going to complain in the middle of this. My free will offering. My circumstances don't encourage me to praise, but I choose to praise. The free will offering of my mouth. My dependence, my praise, my devotion, all of those are a choice that he's made. A free will offering is not something that's required. You know, in the Old Testament, there's all kind of offerings that are required that you have to do. Well, there's one that's kind of a catch-all, a freewill offering. Just whatever you want to bring because of your thankfulness, because of your gratitude, because of God's blessing. You have just decided, I'm going to give above and beyond what I'm required to give. I'm going to give because now I want to give. And see, that's where he is with his praise, the freewill offering of his mouth. God, the situation doesn't demand it. The situation doesn't encourage it, but yet I choose to give you praise. I choose to worship. I choose to exalt. I choose to celebrate. And teach me your ordinances. It's in the middle of our submission. It's in the middle of our devotion. It's in the middle of our praise that we prepare our hearts to hear from the Lord. So he says, accept the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand. Now, what does that mean? My life is in my hand. I'm just going to tell you, when my life's in my hand, it's in a shaky place. It's in danger. My life is in my hand. I'm the one that controls what I do. All right? My life is continually in my hand. I'm continually in danger. Remember, he's exceedingly afflicted. So his life is constantly in danger. He says, my life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. Now what does that mean? It means I'm not going to compromise. If I would just go along to get along, things would be easier in this world and relationships for a while. But he says, I'm not going to compromise. My life is continually in my hand, but yet I will not forget your law. I'm going to trust you, even though it's scary, even though I don't see far beyond these next few steps I'm about to make or what I need to do. God, I will not forget your law. The wicked have laid snares for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. God, I'm trusting fully in you. That's where he's confirming his promise, his oath that he made to keep the law of God. He says, God, I didn't make this promise, and then when going gets tough, I forget it. I'm still, God, I'm still your man. God, I'm still your dependent. God, I'm still looking to you. God, I don't have the answers. I don't know what to do. God, I am absolutely, totally dependent upon you. All these things have happened. There are all kinds of people against me. All kinds of snares and traps have been set. But yet, God, I'm still gonna focus on your law. I'm gonna keep your word. I'm gonna let it illuminate my path. Not give in to them. Verse 111. How can he make this declaration? How can he stay so faithful? It says, I have inherited your testimonies forever. Now, what does it mean that I have inherited? Is an inheritance something that you gathered? Something that originates with you? An inheritance is something that's passed down. So he says, I have inherited your testimonies forever. In other words, I have heard your testimony from other people. I have received your testimony. But not only is an inheritance something that we receive, but an inheritance is something that is greatly valued. It's passed down to you, and it's very valuable to you. There are some things that my mom and dad have that when they die will be part of my inheritance that I really don't care anything about. There's a whole lot of junk that they've collected over the years that don't mean anything to me. Don't mean anything to my brother. Don't mean anything to my sister. It's just junk to be passed down. But there are some things. Usually the small things. Things that probably wouldn't be valued by anyone else but are very significant to me. You know, those are the things that I value. That's the inheritance that I value. You know, and so when the psalmist writes, I have inherited your testimonies, not only is it something that he's received from someone else, but it's something that he values very much. And you understand the value of it in the next phrase where he says, I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. It's the testimonies that I've received. It's the word that I've received. It's the experience that I've had. It's what other people have passed on to me. The truths, the revelation that I've received from your word. God, those are the joy of my heart. Those are the things that are important to me. Those are the things that I treasure. That's why he calls them an inheritance. They're of great value. He has placed great value on the word of God, the testimony, how God has been at work in other people's lives throughout the history of Israel, throughout the history of humanity, throughout the people that he's known, maybe even his parents. The things that they've told him about God and how God has been faithful and how God has been at work in their lives and God has been true to his word. And they've passed on this joy, this value of the word of God. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more important than you can pass on to your kids is the love of God and His Word. There's no greater gift you can give them than the testimony of how God has been at work in your life and share with your children how God has been faithful in the tough times, how God has worked through the difficulties, even the mistakes you've made. That's why I've been pretty honest and transparent with my kids about my past. Because I want them to see the faithfulness of God even when I haven't been faithful. I've talked to my kids about how I've run from the Lord for so long and how much of a mess I made of our marriage and how when you're running from God, you can't do right. It's just impossible. And when you're not living for the Lord, selfishness will begin to develop. And when you lose sight of who God is and you're not running to Him, but you're running from Him, life will become a mess. I've been honest with my kids about the mess that we made of our marriage and of our life. They were too young to know it, but they need to know it. Because I want them to hear the testimonies of how God is faithful even when I haven't been faithful. And how God's Word, when Randa and I got back under the authority of God's Word and we started pursuing God and trying to live for God and letting God change me rather than praying that God would change her and vice versa, that God Man, God was faithful and God did so much and God rescued our marriage and rescued our family. And we're together today and they have a mom and dad that love each other today only because of God's faithfulness. See, your kids need to hear that testimony. They need to hear what God does and what God is doing, what God has done. And that needs to become the joy of their heart when they see the faithfulness of God. They hear it from their parents, the people that they respect and looked up to the most. Man, it gives them a longing for God's Word, a love for God's Word, a trust for God's Word that will last a lifetime. So he says, I've inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever. You know, that's a long time. That's a big commitment. But you know, that's what we've done when we accepted Christ and we surrender our heart and our life. It wasn't a one and done deal. God, I'm submitting myself to you forever, even to the end. God, whatever my end looks like, however my end comes, God, I'm committed to be faithful to you no matter what. If it costs me, means I die early, if it means I die a martyr, if it means I live till 106, whatever it looks like, God, I'm committed to live under the authority of your word forever, even to the end. Man, what a great passion for the word of God. Now, why? Why is he so passionate about the word of God? Because your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I don't know about you, but this life is too crazy, too mixed up, and too hard for me to figure out on my own. Been way too many times I thought I knew what to do, and when I did it, it was a mess. But every time, I did life according to God's Word. Every time I lived in relationship according to God's Word. Every time I submitted unto the authority of God's Word, God worked things out. So much better than I ever expected. That's why we need to be committed to the Word of God, dedicated to the Word of God, submitted to the Word of God, transformed by the Word of God. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. It's true. It's steadfast. It's always right. Let's stand.